So as you just heard, we're in Joshua. We're starting in chapter 1, starting with verse 1. And it'll be all the way to 9. All right, please stand if you are willing and able for the reading of God's Word. After the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord said to Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' assistant, Moses, my servant is dead. Now, therefore, arise. Go over this Jordan, you and all this people, into the land that I am giving to them, to the people of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot will tread upon, I have given to you, just as I promised to Moses. From the wilderness and this Lebanon, as far as the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, to the great sea toward the going down of the sun shall be your territory. No man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life. Just as I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will not leave you or forsake you. Be strong and courageous, for you shall cause this people to inherit the land that I swore to their fathers to give them. Only be strong and very courageous, being careful to do according to all the law that Moses, my servant, commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right hand or to the left, that you may have good success wherever you go. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be frightened. Do not be dismayed. For the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Thus concludes the reading of God's word.
Praise be to God.
You may be seated. The book of Joshua opens with death. After the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord. Moses, the man who stood before Pharaoh, who stretched out his staff over the Red Sea, who received the law on Sinai, who interceded for a stiff-necked people, who saw the glory of God, was dead. The greatest human leader Israel had ever known was gone. The wilderness generation that had known his face was largely gone. A new generation stood on that eastern bank of the Jordan, staring across the land filled with fortified cities, trained armies, and giants. And their new leader was Joshua, Moses' assistant, a man who had spent decades in the shadow of greatness. And to that moment of transition, uncertainty, and potential fear, the Lord himself speaks. He does not begin with a strategy session or a pep talk based on human potential. He begins with himself, his purpose, his promise, and his presence. And his word. The charge is clear and repeated three times. Be strong and courageous. Yet the ground of that strength is never Joshua's personality, training, or even resolve. It is the character and covenant of faithfulness of the living God. From a Reformed perspective, this passage is not merely an ancient leadership manual or a motivational text for personal success. It is a revelation of the God who keeps his covenant, who advances his redemptive purposes through successive servants, and who ultimately points us to the greater Joshua, Jesus Christ, who leads his people into the true and final rest. The themes of divine sovereignty, covenant promise, and necessity of the word, and the enabling presence of God run through these verses like a golden thread. They speak to the church in every age as we face our own Jordans, our own transitions, and our own call to occupy the inheritance Christ has secured. Let us walk through carefully through the text. The sovereign transition. God continues his work. After the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord said to Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' assistant, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now, therefore, arise, go over this Jordan, you and all this people, and to the land that I am giving to them, to the people of Israel. Notice the titles. Moses is the servant of the Lord. Joshua is Moses' assistant. The language is deliberate. Leadership in the kingdom of God is not self-appointed. It is derivative. Moses served. Joshua assisted. Now the servant is dead, but the master is not. God's purpose does not die with his servants. The same Lord who raised up Moses now commissions Joshua. The work of redeeming a people, bringing them into the land sworn to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and establishing them as a holy nation, continues because it rests on the unchanging will of God, not the longevity of any human instrument. This is a profound comfort and a necessary correction. We are prone to attach the progress of the gospel to particular personalities, ministries, or eras. When a faithful pastor dies, when a generation of leaders passes, or when the institutions falter, anxiety rises. But Scripture repeatedly shows us that God buries his workmen and carries on his work. The covenant is not suspended by the death of a mediator under the old administration. The same God who spoke to Moses now speaks to Joshua. The initiative is entirely his. Now, therefore, arise. The command is urgent. The time of mourning is over. The land is not merely promised, it is being given. The verbs are present and purposeful. God is actively bestowing what he swore to the fathers. Here we see the Reformed emphasis on the sovereignty of God in salvation history. The conquest is not primarily Israel's military achievement. It is the fulfillment of divine promise. The people will fight, but the land is gift. Grace precedes and undergirds obedience. The sweeping promise, the gift of the land, and the certainty of victory. Look with me at verses 3 and 5, or 3 through 5. Every place that the sole of your foot will tread upon, I have given to you, just as I promised to Moses, from the wilderness and this Lebanon, as far as the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, to the great sea toward the going down of the sun shall be your territory. No man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life. Just as I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will not leave you nor forsake you. The boundaries are vast, far larger than Israel ever fully occupied in the days of the judges or the united monarchy. The promise is comprehensive. Every place the sole of your foot treads is already given. The tense is perfect. I have given. The conquest is the appropriation of a gift already secured by divine decree. This is a covenant theology in narrative form. God swore to the fathers. He is now making good on that oath. Yet the promise is not unconditional. It is the sense of automatic possession without response. The people must arise, cross, tread, and fight. Reformed theology has always held together the absolute sovereignty of God and the real responsibility of his people. The land is gift. The taking of it requires faith-filled action. Later failures in Joshua and Judges will demonstrate that unbelief and disobedience forfeit the enjoyment of what God has freely given, but the root remains grace. The climax of the promise is personal. Just as I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will not leave you or forsake you. This is a great covenant formula. The God who accompanied Moses through the wilderness, who dwelt in the cloud and fire, who spoke face to face, now pledges the same presence to Joshua. The apostle later applies these very words to the New Testament church. Keep your life free from love of money and be content with what you have. For he has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. Hebrews 13:5. The presence of God is the true inheritance. The land is a type. The Lord himself is the substance. The repeated charge, strength and courage rooted in God. Three times the command rings out, be strong and courageous. Verse 7, only be strong and very courageous. And have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be frightened and do not be dismayed. Why the repetition? Because Joshua needed it. The task was humanly impossible. Crossing a flooded river, facing the walls of Jericho, confronting the Anakim. These were not the stuff of natural bravado. Courage here is not self-generated optimism or the denial of real danger. It is the settled resolve that rests upon the character of God. The strength is not innate. It is derived. As Paul later writes, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. Ephesians 6:10. Verse 6 grounds the courage in the promise of inheritance. For you shall cause this people to inherit the land that I swore to their fathers to give them. Joshua's success is tied to God's oath. Verse 9 grounds it in the presence of God. For the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Between these two anchors stands the critical middle charge concerning the law. This is not stoic self-reliance, It is the covenant boldness. The Reformed tradition has always insisted that true courage in the Christian life flows from the doctrines of grace, election, justification, and the perseverance of the saints, and the certain presence of Christ by His Spirit. We do not manufacture strength. We receive it by faith on the promises. The central condition, meditation on and obedience to the Word. Now look with me at verse 7 through 8. Only be strong and very courageous, being careful to do according to all the law that Moses, my servant, commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right hand or to the left, that you may have good success wherever you go. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. Here is the heart of the charge. Military strategy is secondary. I know, coming from the Army guy, what? The decisive factor is fidelity to the written word of God. The book of the law, essentially the Torah, was given through Moses, is to dominate Joshua's speech, his thoughts, and his conduct. It must not depart from his mouth. Public proclamation and instruction. He must meditate on it day and night. Private, continuous reflection. And he must be careful to do all that is written in it. Obedient practice. Meditation here is not emptying the mind like the world teaches, but filling it. Turning to the Word, turning the Word over, chewing it, applying it, delighting in it. Success is prosperity. Are defined covenantally, not mere material gain or military victory for its own sake, but walking in the path of God's blessing, as He defines it. Turning neither to the right nor to the left means neither adding human traditions nor subtracting divine requirements. Sola Scriptura is already present in seed form. A Reformed standpoint is this underscores the regulative principle and the sufficiency of Scripture. Joshua does not need new revelations for every battle. He needs the already given word applied by faith. The same is true for the church. Our strength and courage in the face of cultural hostility, personal trials, or eschatological challenges are sustained by the same means. The constant, obedient engagement with Holy Scripture under the illumination of the Spirit. Notice the order. The promise of God's presence and gifts come first. The call to obedience follows. Grace precedes law in the economy of redemption. Obedience is the fruit and evidence of trusting the promise, not the meritorious ground of receiving it. Yet it is indistinguishable. Antinomianism finds no shelter here, nor does legalism. The path of blessing is the path of careful conformity to God's revealed will. Christological fulfillment, the greater Joshua. The name Joshua, or Yeshua, means Yahweh saves. Or it also means Yahweh is salvation. The Greek form of the name is Jesus. The New Testament writers were not slow to see this typology. Hebrews 4 speaks of a rest that Joshua did not fully give, pointing beyond him to Christ, who brings his people into the true Sabbath rest. Joshua led Israel across the Jordan into the temporal inheritance, still marked by the enemies, and an eventual exile. Jesus leads his people through death into an eternal inheritance that cannot be shaken, secured by his own blood. Moses, the servant, dies outside the land. Joshua, the successor, brings the people in. In the greater story, the law, represented by Moses, cannot bring us into the promised rest because of the weakness of the flesh. Christ, the true and better Joshua, does what the law could not do. He conquers the true enemies, sin, death, and the devil. He divides the inheritance among his people. He is with us always, even to the end of the age, Matthew 28:20. The promise, "I will never leave you nor forsake you," finds its deepest fulfillment in the incarnate Son who tabernacled among us and now dwells in us by his Spirit. Therefore, when we hear the charge to be strong and courageous, we do not hear a call to self-reliant heroism. We hear the summons of the risen Christ, who has already won the decisive victory, and who promises his presence as we take the gospel to the nations and occupy the places he has assigned us until he comes. In seasons of transition and loss, when leaders die, when familiar structures change, when the future looks uncertain, remember, God's purpose does not die with his servants. Arise and go forward to the strength of his promise. In the face of intimidating opposition, whether cultural, spiritual, or personal, the enemies we face cannot stand against the presence of the Lord. Courage is not the absence of fear, but the refusal to be controlled by it, because God is with us. This very verse, Joshua 1:9, I wore around my neck in both deployments. Be strong. No, he is with you. It's not by our strength, it's by his. In the daily discipline of the word, prosperity and success in the Christian life are inseparable from meditation on and obedience to Scripture. Make the book of the law the constant companion of your mouth, your mind, and your life. Do not turn from it. In reliance upon Christ, all the strength and courage required of us is found in union with the greater Joshua. He has already entered the land. He has already secured the inheritance. He will not leave us or forsake us. Brothers and sisters, the God who spoke to Joshua still speaks. The God who promised the land has given us every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. The God who pledged his presence has sealed us with the Holy Scripture, with the Holy Spirit. Therefore, be strong and very courageous. Do not be frightened and do not be dismayed, The Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Because the greater Joshua has gone before you, conquered for you, and remains with you forever. Let us pray. Almighty God, our Father, we thank you that you are the same yesterday, today, and forever. You bury your workmen, but you carry on your work. Grant us, by your Spirit, the strength and courage that flows from your promises and your presence. Fix our eyes on the greater Joshua, our Lord Jesus Christ, who has opened the way into the true inheritance. Make us careful to do according to all that is written in your word, that we may walk in the path of blessing to the praise of your glorious grace. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.